Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Jeff Schwartz, the hell's happening, my friend?
I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to talk about this next topic, by the way, because I don't know if I like this player yet. I haven't figured out yet whether or not I like him, and so this will be a lot of fun to discuss. But you know, how'd you spend your first weekend without football? I did not know that fan controlled football is a thing. I learned about it this weekend. Is that the Manziel League? Yeah, it's called fan control football. It's one of my favorite traditions of the first weekend after football's over is there's a new league that pops up. I often have no idea it's happening. I see highlights. I think to myself, oh, I'm going to pay attention to this, and I just don't because I don't want to get divorced. So I have to spend my non-football days in a certain way. How did you spend your first weekend without football?
I mean, I dabbled in a little college basketball. I turned that on. I watched the Penguins Capitals game. Then I watched a little Daytona 500. I just kind of mixed and matched and kind of channel surfed a little bit, you know, just kind of looked around. And then I realized none of this is anything close to the NFL. And then I started, I was jonesing for some XFL, maybe a little AAF if need be. Like, I need something. Although we are going to have spring college football, though. I mean, that is going to be happening.
And
so that'll be fun.
We did have a little bit of it. We had McNeese State play someone this weekend. I don't even know who it was, like Tennessee Tech or something. So we have FCS coming up, and it's good football, right? I mean, a lot of these teams, you know, North Dakota State, Weber State, Maine and James Madison. I mean, there's some good football that's going to happen. The thing about basketball for me, college basketball, you know, and I follow the Pac-12 for my job, and I'm a West Coast kid. And I was, by the way, 3-0 gambling Pac-12 this weekend.
All right. How about you?
It's good to follow. You know, the conference you follow is the best one to gamble on because you follow them, you know, very closely. The thing with college basketball is there's just not a lot of stars, right? There's not a lot of like, oh my God, I have to watch Zion Williamson play. There's no one really that I feel that way about. I mean, the USC has Evan Mobley, you know, who's 7 feet tall and he'll be a lottery pick. I mean, he's one you want to watch, but it's not as the star power of Zion is not there. And the NBA, at least for me, and I like all the sports, and it's tougher on the East Coast to stay up and watch like West Coast basketball as I'm a Lakers fan. But, you know, the concern is that, does it matter what happens now? Because all that matters is the playoffs. Right? Anthony Davis is hurt for the Lakers, and I'd argue that they should sit him as long as they can as a Lakers fan, have LeBron rest. But Lakers can be any seed, 1 through 8, and they'll be the favorite to win the championship.
Yeah.
And the favorite to win the West. So if the NBA is watered down in the regular season, like, it doesn't matter what happens right now.
Yeah, and look, a lot of that is the 7-game series format because the best team is going to win every time. And so you don't have these situations. Look, if Kansas City and Tampa Bay played 7 games, how do you think that goes? If the Bucks and the Chiefs played a 7-game series, how do you think that goes?
Is everyone healthy, like, or at least relatively healthy?
Say they're the same rosters as they were in the Super Bowl. Same roster, same starting lineup that they were in the Super Bowl. They play 7 times. How do you have that?
I mean, Tampa would win most of those games because of the Chiefs' offensive line. I think you're looking like the Week 12 lineups.
Okay,
Week 12 lineups, but Tampa's playing at the caliber they're playing at now, right? Okay,
yeah,
they probably go they go 4-3.
Yeah, and because you'd have so many opportunities to play, it's like Kansas City. Say they lose that Super Bowl and that's game one of the series, I would pick Kansas City to win game two.
Correct.
Because I would get, and so the NBA has this to where you can lose a game here or there in the postseason, but the best team is always going to win. So the element of surprise in the NBA just isn't there in the playoffs, to where, you know, a team can come out and shock you. I mean, remember Allen Iverson and the Sixers? The Lakers were undefeated in the playoffs
They won the first game.
They won that first game. Yeah. But if that were the only game played in the NBA Finals, they would be your champions. It wasn't, which is what makes the NCAA tournament so much more fun to watch. It just, the seven-game series, I think, makes it really difficult for the surprise element in the NBA. Give them credit because the best team always wins, but you don't have that really fun, exciting storyline that you would normally get. So, yeah, the Lakers would be favored regardless of what's
even in a, but even a five-game series, you have to have a three-game series possibly. But like,
yeah.
But then again, like if you're the Lakers, and we even saw it last year, and last year's hard to judge because it was a bubble, but we saw the Lakers, you know, just like not show up to, you know, game five against the Heat, right? It was just like, like, you know, we're up 3-1. They just didn't play as hard, right? And then obviously in game six, they just came and they played their best and they won easily. I mean, in a five-game series, you can still have that, right? You're up 2-0. And we often see that game three at home is kind of that bounce-back game, right, for the team that's down 0-2.
Yeah.
It's my favorite situation to bet first quarter, game three of an NBA playoff series. You take the underdog, right? Who's down 2, you know, 0-2. It's every time. It's a great bet to make. First quarter, third game. and oh, the first time they're at home in the playoff series. So I'll do just like auto bet that all the time. So a three game series would make it more interesting, right? But in the end, I feel like the Lakers, for example. I mean, if even a three-game series, they'd just be like, all right, guys, let's just win two and be done with it. I don't know. I feel like that's it. And I like the NBA, like I said. But we're heading down the barrel to Lakers-Nets finals. We all know that, I feel like.
Yeah, and so it is tough to get worked up over anything in the NBA right now. But Draymond Green, Jeff Schwartz, is very, very bothered. He is very frustrated. He decided, you know what, man? I'm not happy about what's going on. I have a bone to pick with the National Basketball Association. This after the Warriors win over the Cavs on Monday night. And here was Draymond Green of the Warriors letting it fly after the game.
To watch Andre Drummond before the game sit on the sideline, then go to the back and then come out in street clothes because a team is going to trade him. It's bullshit. But you can say Andre Drummond is getting traded publicly and we're looking to trade him publicly and he's to stay professional and just deal with it. But then when Kyrie Irving say, oh, my mental health is off, everybody go crazy about that too. Do you not think that affects someone mentally? As much as we put into this game to be great, to come out here and be in shape, to produce for fans every single night, and most importantly, to help your team win. Do you think that doesn't affect someone mentally? But as players, we're told to, no, you can't say that, you can't say this, but teams can? It goes along the same lines of when everyone wants to say, oh man, that young guy can't figure it out. But no one wants to say the organization can't figure it out. At some point, the players must be respected in these situations, and it's ridiculous, and I'm sick of seeing it. Y'all have a great night. I'll see y'all tomorrow.
All right. I would like the first question, if I could. The hell's he talking about? I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I swear, I heard a lot. There was rambling there. He was very fired up. Players should be treated. But what is he talking about? I don't get it.
And what's interesting is I saw this on Twitter. I had not listened to it yet, and so I'm glad we played it. And it's so interesting how social media, the first thing they do is they're so pro-player, right?
Of course.
You tell them, Draymond, and I'm like, I'm glad I listened to it before I responded.
What did he tell anybody? Yeah, I don't get it.
So it sounds like Andre Drummond is on the trading block, I guess. But again, guys, it's a media-driven thing. Maybe the team tells a media member, hey, we're about to trade him. But the team is not the one out there saying we're going to trade someone. Like, you know, like they, that's not like the team is not publicly most of the time. I mean, obviously not every time publicly saying, hey, Andre, we're trading you. These rumors start in the media and they get told by the media. And so I don't know what he's talking about. As far as Kyrie, I mean,
I don't know how that has anything to do with Andre Drummond.
I mean, I understand that mental health is not taken seriously by pro sports organizations. I think they're trying to do a better job of it, but they don't take it seriously, especially when players retire. And so I understand what Draymond's saying there.
Agreed.
But again, it just kind of out of nowhere. It's just like a stream of conscious, like a stream of thought. And what was his last point on the young players don't develop. Guys, the media blasts teams all the time for not developing players. What's he talking about?
I honest to God, man, I'm seeing. But to you, this is exactly the point.
There was an article yesterday, by the way, on Chiefs about the Chiefs the Chiefs Twitter, blasting the Chiefs for not developing anyone from the 2018 draft class. They just won a Super Bowl 2 years ago, and they won the Super Bowl again. And people are like, "Up this 2018 right. draft class, Brett Veach didn't do a good job." It's like they Draymond, they constantly do that. What are you talking about?
But to your point, and you said, and this is the most important element of all this. It's the race to defend players on Twitter. It irritates me because you can listen to that and I saw the same thing you said. It's everybody lining up to see who can kiss the most ass. I swear, it's like an ass-kissing race. And it wears me out, man. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, look, we love what you guys do, but maybe you're not you're not right here. Like, there's nothing. But no, everybody wants to defend it. Yeah, you tell them. Man, no league lets players have more power than the NBA does. So this idea that they're being held hostage in a way, and that teams are able to do this, but players aren't able to do that. That is crazy, man.
You know what's interesting is, like, I'm not a business person. Like, I don't really have a business at all. I mean, my wife has some rental properties, but like, we don't have a business. But like, I find myself almost being like more pro business because some of these athletes just say the most ridiculous stuff of all time. And so I feel like more like, hey, I get what the NFL owners are doing, or I get what the NBA owners, I guess NBA governors are doing. Like, I feel myself like I'm like almost less pro player because some of these guys have no idea what they're saying. I have no idea what they're talking about. And I guess I have a different perspective. I maybe, but like, I don't really understand why everything has to be pro player. I saw Russell Wilson, and we talked about him a little earlier. He mentioned that players should be more in control of personnel decisions. That's a terrible idea.
Horrible.
And yet, everyone, Twitter's like, you tell him, Russell. You get paid so much money, and in any other organization, the highest paying individuals, there's no organization like the NFL. There's no organization where the talent gets paid at such a higher level than like the people who run the organization, right? Like, in what organization are you in where I guess in the media sometimes the talent gets paid maybe more than the executive does, but that's kind of rare. But the idea that, like, Russell Wilson's making $35 million a year and John Schneider, the GM, is making $5 million a year, therefore Russell Wilson should have more say in player personnel decisions. No. What does that even mean? Does it mean that they come to him and say, hey, we have Allen Robinson or Juju Smith-Schuster. Who do you want? Okay, that's fair, right? Russell,
yeah,
who do you like?
That's fine.
But again, they might have already chosen Allen Robinson, and Russell just says Allen Robinson, and they're like, great, and Russell feels involved, right? Because they took the guy that they already wanted anyways, right? It's like, that's how marriage works sometimes, right? Like, you tell the other person what they want to hear because you've already made your mind up, and you sort of know they have made their mind up too, and you both agree on it, and boom, done, right? Or is it, hey, Russell, are you studying left guards? Like, are you studying the draft? I mean, like, what does it mean you want more control of personnel? You have a tough enough job to do your own job. Now you want another job? And then do you also get fired if you don't do the other job well, too? Right? Like, where does it stop? Like, I don't understand why we rushed to be. And I'm a player. I'm a former player. I'm very much in love rights for players and name and like this. We talked about that and having the say in what you control and everything. But the idea of player personnel, and then Twitter's like, great job, Russell. I agree with you. Like, what are you talking about?
I totally agree. And there's another element of this that I want to keep the discussion going on this because, yeah, it blows my mind the number of fanboys in the media that line up and want to defend players blindly. When it comes to topics like it's crazy to me.
It's, maybe because they want the access, I guess, and now social media is so important.
I don't know, man.
And I don't mind pissing people off, like players off, and I have. I mean, I don't. I have a couple friends. That's all I need in life.
Yeah, it's bizarre, but we will continue the discussion here. He's Jeff Schwartz. I'm Jonas Knox. In for Clay Travis. This is Outkick, the coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeart Radio app.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
By the way, is it Mardi Gras? Is it Fat Tuesday?
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
What the hell is Fat Tuesday? I still don't know.
I have no idea.
Like, honestly,
I mean, it sounds like a day you're just going to eat a lot, right?
Yeah, well, I just assume, I have no idea the history of Mardi Gras.
I'm fairly certain we're having a Mardi Gras, get-together this weekend. I mean, my wife, we bought a bunch of Mardi Gras stuff, 3 weeks ago. And we have a pod, where, for my kid, my son's in the other room right now learning we have two other kids and we have a teacher. And so, the pod, we're supposed to have a Mardi Gras thing this weekend, I think. I think they bought, one of those cakes. Someone ordered one of those, the cakes you're supposed to have for Mardi Gras.
The king cake.
Yeah, I think we're doing that this weekend. I'm not certain on that, but my wife bought a bunch of stuff.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. I am so I'm not even going to repeat what I was just told moments ago. But
that's all right. I heard it.
I know you. I'm glad you did. By the way, Justin Cooper wasn't lying. Have the beads available when you see Coop. Right, but here's the king cake.
Did I miss something? Was something just an inside joke in the studio?
It's just something. Something that Mardi Gras is also known for.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. That. Yeah.
My talkback doesn't work in your ear, unfortunately.
sorry. And by the way, they got a dozen, or otherwise you'd be out of a job.
I kind of gather what he said, and it wouldn't bother me.
Okay, what the king cake? What are you talking? What is a king cake? What is that?
I could give you a Google. That's why they pay me big money.
Is that the one
stuff.
where there's the baby in
yes.
the cake?
Yeah, and there's sugar, granulated sugar on top, and you have to, whoever finds the baby, something or other.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I think they ordered they ordered this king cake, yeah.
Let me just tell you something. I'm not trusting a cake that had a little miniature action figure baked inside of it. Honestly,
it's actually pretty good.
Okay, but that's melted plastic. Like you imagine somebody putting a G.I. Joe in your cake as a kid and cooking it. You going to eat that cake? I'm not eating that cake. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'll pass.
I'm curious to try the cake. But yeah, my fascination with it might not go further than that. I'll give it a try. I should probably find out if we're having a party this weekend. I have no idea. I mean, my wife just we kind of have an open door policy, and I don't really know what's happening in my house often. It's a little different with COVID, but she might just tell me Friday night, oh, we're having a party tomorrow. I just have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. See, my image of Louisiana and the culture there completely changed after I watched True Detective, because I just assume that everybody drinks Lone Star beer, and then next thing you know, you find a woman who's got thorns and antlers on her head out in an open field somewhere. That's my assumption. Everything in New Orleans is True Detective-ish. You know, they're making origami with beer cans while being interrogated. It changed my entire, so I have no idea what happens at Mardi Gras. I don't get it. I don't get the king cake. I don't get any of that. I don't even know what Fat Tuesday is. All I know is that people use it and it's an excuse to drink. That's all I know.
Which is what most holidays are anyways.
That's true.
Just a drink.
Well, the most obvious one, and Roberta, you don't know this, so let me take this. So Cinco de Mayo, okay? Cinco de Mayo is the American celebration, and people assume that, it's Mexican Independence Day. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
They actually lost that war on Cinco de Mayo. The Mexican Independence Day is September 16th, correct?
That's right. September 16th.
Yeah. Yeah, so September 16th is the actual one. That's why, my wife is Mexican, and I remember early on when we were dating, I said, "Are you guys doing anything for Cinco de Mayo?" And she said, "No, we don't celebrate that." So that's the American thing.
Well, they didn't lose that. That was the battle against the French. They actually beat the French in that battle.
But I heard there was a bad call in that game, and because of that, it's kind of up in the air. So again, we can argue that point another time. But there are some of these holidays that are just used as excuses to drink, you know. But
Yeah, I mean that's I think people are okay with that though.
Yeah, that's fine. And listen, everybody needs to cut loose a little bit here. So we're okay with that also. Jonas Knox, Jeff Schwartz here on Fox Sports Radio. This is Outkick the Coverage, in for Clay Travis. Coming up here in 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio, we're going to get to the bottom of the most embarrassing thing Jeff Schwartz has ever gambled on. All right, because listen, I have gambled on some. When I look back, when you're telling me that you're gambling on Pac-12 basketball over the weekend, that sort of piqued my ears a little bit and perked my ears up a little bit to think, okay, what else has he actually gambled on?
Oh, I have an incredible 10-team open parlay WNBA story.
So okay. All right. So we will get into that coming up. Everybody's got a bad habit. We will talk about ours coming up here in about 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. So Draymond Green was upset. He went off post game after the Warriors went over the Cleveland Cavaliers because he was bothered about Andre Drummond being in street clothes because the team is trying to figure out what they're going to do with Andre Drummond moving forward, and his thought was, well, you know, it's not fair for players if they're demanding a trade, but it's okay for teams to do it, and so on. And then it went into this, you know, mental health and all that, but it comes to this conversation of players want more power. Now, I would argue no player has more power than an NBA player. All right, you played in the NFL. Correct. Would you? Yeah, okay, so NBA players have a ton of power.
Yes.
And now we've talked about Russell Wilson, who also wants to have a little bit of say in things. Deshaun Watson, part of the problem with him and the Texans is he felt like he was going to have a say in things, and he did not. I'm just wondering how much of this is because of what Tom Brady was able to do in Tampa Bay. They bring in Brady. He has a couple of guys that he likes. They bring in those guys as well, too. They see the success he has winning a Super Bowl. And I just wonder if part of what was irking Russell Wilson in Seattle and maybe some other quarterbacks around the NFL, specifically in seeing Brady's situation, if they look at that and go, well, if he can get to decide what players are going to be on this team or what players he wants to bring in, why can't we also be a part of the conversation? I don't believe that's the case. I don't think that they should, and I don't think Brady had, you know, full control over the – like, I don't think Brady was in the draft room going, yeah, if you guys don't take Wirfs, I'm out of here. Like, I don't think yeah, he was pulling that, but that's why I feel like some of this stuff has popped up.
Well, let's talk about what supposedly Tom Brady did, okay? So he added a Hall of Fame caliber tight end in Gronkowski, right? Like, that's a no-brainer, right? Any team would have taken Gronk. So obviously, yes, you can give Brady credit for that, but that's not such a bold move that no one else would have done it. And again, they already had Cameron Brate on the roster, tight end, right? So adding Gronk was a plus. Leonard Fournette, right?
And O.J. Howard.
And O.J. Howard. Leonard Fournette was brought to the team supposedly because Tom wanted him. Well, you already had Ronald Jones, right? They bring Fournette. And there was a report yesterday that Fournette was almost benched like in week 15.
Yep.
I mean, almost was, yep, I guess, cut in week 15. Not even benched, cut. And then you have Antonio Brown, right? Now, Antonio Brown was definitely a guy who maybe no one else was looking at and that Tom vouched for him. And that took Tom. That was a player that Tom vouched for. And guess what, guys? When you've won 6 Super Bowls, you get to vouch for players that maybe someone else can't vouch for. And that's the way it works in life. If you built up the goodwill, you get to cash in that sometimes. And he cashed it in to get Antonio Brown. Now, would they have won the Super Bowl without him? Probably. But he played well in the Super Bowl too. So that's it. You know, those decisions where you add to an already existing roster, Antonio Brown was added to a roster that had Godwin and Mike Evans and Scotty Miller and Cameron Brate and Gronk and all these guys. That's fine. But Russell Wilson, I think, is talking about being, you know, deciding, hey, draft Tristan Wirfs.
And it's completely different.
Yeah, it is. And deciding to draft. And look, they had a great draft, right? Wirfs and Winfield Jr., who was the starting safety for them this season in round two. That's completely different than what I think Russell Wilson's asking for, what Draymond Green is arguing, and the NBA players should have more say in what happens. You know, Draymond Green is upset because the double standard that, you know, NBA, you know, if a player wants a trade, they're looked at in a certain way. When a team wants to trade someone, they're not. But again, I mean, there's reasons for that. Practical reasons. One is that teams are allowed to trade players. Like, that's part of the business. Players requesting trades is not as much part of the business. And what's funny is that in the NFL right now, people are like, good for you, Deshaun Watson. Like, they're rooting for him to be traded.
Yeah, I don't – it's – here's – and to your point on the Brady stuff as well, too. The reason Brady chose Tampa is because of the roster that was already there.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like they it was a blank piece of paper and a blank canvas, and they said, Tom, what do you feel like? And he said, oh, I'll take this, this, and – he chose Tampa because what was already there. They were loaded.
Agreed, agreed. The one thing that I – it's so interesting about – the way people look at sports and just kind of in general, but you know, is the fairness thing, right? And they want everything to be fair. Well, sports is inherently not fair, by the way, right? I mean, everyone, even just the athletes, right? Some athletes are blessed with physical gifts and some aren't, right? It's just, that's the simplest form of not being fair. You know, did I want to get hurt as many times as I did? That wasn't fair. I didn't, you know, I broke bones. It wasn't like I had injuries that were because I wasn't physically prepared. You know, and the way we cover athletes, the way we cover Tom Brady, it's different than a quarterback who hasn't earned the right to a little bit of freedom in the way he, you know, he helps his team build the roster. You know, people were like, well, Pat Mahomes is getting a pass for the way he played in the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson wouldn't. Well, guys, they're different players, right?
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes has earned the right to, when he has a bad game, people evaluate it a little differently than when Lamar Jackson has a bad playoff game, because Lamar Jackson has had that problem in his career, and Pat Mahomes hasn't. And so this is the first playoff game in eight previous ones where he hasn't looked good. Like, Tom Brady has earned the right to have a little bit of control over the extra pieces that they bring to Tampa Bay. Other players haven't. And I don't know why that's so difficult for people to understand.
And that's all it is. It's extra pieces. And so, like, the Russell – here's the other part that bothers me about the Russell Wilson stuff. It's this idea that Seattle has just sat back and said, Russ, go win us some games. Bro, they've traded for Jamal Adams. All right. They went and picked up Carlos Dunlap. I mean, they've traded offensive
line
pieces.
But his offensive line beef is real. I mean, they have not done a good job of bringing in an offensive lineman to help him. I mean, they traded for Dwayne Brown, but I'm talking about drafting offensive linemen.
Agreed. But I think you can speak to this more than I could. I don't know a lot of teams that have drafted well when it comes to offensive linemen. I mean, look, Indianapolis took Quentin Nelson. I mean, Quentin Nelson
but
was
they
fantastic.
Drafted Ryan Kelly, too, at center.
Yeah, but it feels like there's maybe not as – if we all agree that offensive line play is really important – do you think that the quality of offensive linemen coming out of college and whether it's the schemes they're playing in or whatnot makes them ready for the NFL?
It's getting better now because we're seeing more colleges go back to quote-unquote like pro-style schemes. And so we're seeing – look, this year alone we had Mekhi Becton, right, with the Jets.
Yep.
We had Jedrick Wills with the Browns. We had Tristan Wirfs with the Bucks. Andrew Thomas, you know, those guys – were more ready to play than ever, but they all came from four college offenses that had them ready to play. So we're seeing kind of offenses slow back down in college. And I'm looking at the draft, you know, for last year, just to see like where if Seattle could have gone. And part of it too, like this is the thing too, is, you know, teams are not going to overreach for players. So Seattle last year took Jordan Brooks. I mean, there's no offensive lineman that you would take in the first round at that point. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Wilson was taken after him, but Isaiah Wilson did not play at all and had some trouble off the field. But there's no other offensive lineman where you're like, other one that had first round value.
Is Isaiah Wilson the guy from the Titans?
Yeah.
Is he?
He had the COVID and he was.
The guy? He got caught at a party and tried to jump out the window.
One of the guys. Yeah.
Imagine that. You're so busted. You're like, screw it. I'm jumping out of the window. Like the building's not on fire. You're just going to get caught because you're out. Don't have a mask on.
He got COVID too. I think he got COVID. Like he was like, he got put on the COVID list like three times.
Yeah. As a rookie. Yeah. That's as a rookie.
Not,
Not
he ideal. played one game. So that's, yeah. But yeah, he was on the COVID list three times last year. Not ideal. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, if so you're Seattle at 27 last year. I mean, now look, you could have drafted T. Higgins maybe or Pittman Jr., LaVisca Chenault to help Russell Wilson out with the wide receiver. Again, an offensive line, maybe, you know, maybe Isaiah Wilson, but I didn't really know how good of a pro he'd be. But, you know, you're not really taking anyone. It's not like I don't look at this and be like, man, they really missed out on so-and-so, right? And they drafted Damian Lewis in the third round, a guard at LSU who played well last season for them. So they've tried at certain points, but you're right. The line, they have not drafted terribly well on the offensive line.
Well, and here's the other thing. If you talk to anybody that and you talk to people in the NFL, they'll tell you at a certain point in the draft, you're not really, and most of the successful teams in the draft, they draft best player available. They're not drafting by need. So if Seattle's at a point to where, you know, there's a tight end that's available that they think is the best player available, but then there's also an offensive lineman and they're like, God, but we really need a right guard. They're going to take best player available, like especially later in the draft. It's all about what is the best piece on the board and not really drafting for need. And so I think people lose sight of that and they'll go, well, why would they take this guy when they clearly needed this? Okay, but maybe the answer isn't there at that point in the draft, you know? So why wouldn't you just take the best player available and get as many good players as you can? I'm sorry.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Yeah, there he is. There's your guy, Mr. Unlimited, Russell Wilson, throwing his offensive lineman under the bus.
Mr. Unlimited, he's got a little more vocal, right? Since he's getting a little older in life.
Hey, man.
Making some moves.
You know what? Him and Sierra. She's a really nice person. Sierra, very beautiful Sierra. So, you know, Russell Wilson's feeling good about things.
Mr. Unlimited. You got to be unlimited.
What a cornball. Tell me that was a joke.
He's an interesting cat, isn't he?
Yeah, I hope that was a joke. All right, Jeff Schwartz, Jonas Knox.
I'm a great football player. You know, I know I've been great. I know I will be great. I know I'll continue to be great.
I just, hey man. But again, for offensive linemen everywhere, just remember the day, February 16th, 2021, when Jeff Schwartz stabbed you in the back and chose Russell Wilson over you. Just remember the day, offensive linemen everywhere.
I think there's audio of this segment, and I'm not sure I'd send any of that. But if that's the way you want to go, it's fine with me. I can take the heat on Twitter. It's okay.
I know. We've seen. You'll let it fly a little bit. All right. We are coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Coming up next, though, we are going to find out about this bet, this 10-team WNBA parlay bet of the century starring Jeff Schwartz. And we will get to that next year on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Jeff and I will be back tomorrow here on Fox Sports Radio with all sorts of fun stuff here. We will find out, try and do a little bit more research as to what the hell Fat Tuesday and Mardi Gras are. And then who knows, maybe somebody else in the world of sports will be complaining about not having enough power. But we will have it all for you coming up tomorrow here on Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Now, with all that being said, I feel like we've done a lot of great things on the show today, Jeff. We've talked about the snow that is impacting the country. We talked about Carson Wentz and his situation. Jalen Johnson opting out at Duke. Some people feel he's quitting. Russell Wilson, the future of the Chiefs and the Bucks. We talked to Daytona 500 winner Michael McDowell. We have talked a lot. Tried to figure out and decipher what Draymond Green is actually saying. Tom Brady's power with the Bucks organization. All of that is a distant second place to us getting the details behind your 10-team WNBA parlay bet. Please take it away.
All right. So I think I have about 2 minutes here. So I did a couple summers ago. I had a 10-team open parlay. So I would add. It wasn't WNBA. It was baseball, and I think it was mostly baseball. So I'd add a team or two every other night or every night, whatever. Right. I felt good about a bet. So it was up to I had 9 wins. Okay, I was 9, and the payout was like 109 to 1. Okay, So I give you one more game. And at Sunday Night Baseball, it just happened. The Red Sox-Yankees had got under. I hit. And so Monday, there was nothing Monday I liked. So Tuesday, there was a WNBA game. Minnesota Lynx, number one team in the WNBA, playing the Indiana Fever, I think it was. It was like 1-12. Okay? So the Lynx were minus 1,500 on the money line to win. So I threw them in the parlay. It would have paid out 116 or 114 to 1. So great payday, right? Amazing payday. So I put the Lynx in there. Again, I barely followed the WNBA at that time. And so I'm like, sweet. I'm kind of thinking I'm going to win. The Lynx not only lost, they lost by like 15 at home. I think the Indiana Fever that year had like three total wins. And one of them was at the Lynx.
Oh, man.
And my parlay, poof.
Okay.
Went up in the air.
Did you watch the game?
No. So I was okay. Trying to gamecast it on my phone. And I remember sitting on the floor playing with my kids. And like the second half of that game, just my mood just got increasingly worse and worse and worse. I was like so pissed. I didn't hedge because it was like a $10 bet, $20 bet. And I was like, whatever, I'll let it ride.
The good thing. At least you didn't have to watch it. You know, like that's the good. It's like, you know, if you were to tell me, hey, man, your wife's fooling around on you, I'd be like, okay, I mean, do you want to see? No, I don't want to see. All right, I'm good. I understand what's happening here. I don't need to see the proof. At least you didn't need to watch it and go through the misery. You found out you lost it and you could, you know, kind of move on with things. You know, that's the good thing. You know, you didn't have to.
Believe it or not, last time I ever bet on WNBA.
We should get into that again. What do you say? You and I go mano a mano on WNBA picks.